During Memorial Day at Lowe's, shop household must-haves for less. Save $80 on a Charbroil Performance Series 4-Burner Grill to chef up something special. Plus, get up to 45% off select major appliances to keep things fresh. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 5/27. While supplies last. Selection varies by location. See Lowe's.com for details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
By law, 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online. After midnight.
By the time the overnight supervisors arrived, the factory already felt abandoned. The daytime shift left behind noise, movement, radios playing somewhere in the distance, forklifts cutting through wide concrete aisles, and people yelling over machinery that never fully stopped running. But once midnight passed and production slowed, the place changed completely. Entire sections of the building went dark. Conveyor systems powered down one by one. Massive industrial rooms emptied until only isolated pockets of activity remained beneath fluorescent lights. That was when the building started feeling too large. The facility sat on the edge of an industrial park outside town, a sprawling maze of production floors, storage rooms, shipping bays, maintenance corridors, and administrative offices added piece by piece over nearly 50 years. Some sections looked modern, upgraded, with digital monitoring systems and motion-activated lighting. Other parts still carried faded floor markings from departments that no longer existed. At night, all of it blended together. Long hallways disappeared into darkness. Empty loading bays echoed with every footstep. Motion sensors activated lights room by room as employees moved through the building, then shut them off again seconds after they passed. Most overnight workers eventually developed the same habit. You learn not to look too closely into darkened areas while walking alone. Not because anyone openly talked about ghosts. At least, not seriously. The stories existed, of course. Every large workplace had them. People claimed they heard conversations in empty offices or saw someone crossing catwalks after areas had already been cleared for the night. A maintenance worker supposedly quit after seeing a man standing inside one of the inactive production cages long after shutdown. Security guards talked quietly about doors opening on camera footage when no badge scans appeared in the system. Most employees laughed those stories off, mostly. He had worked there almost 8 years and thought he understood the difference between ordinary building noise and the things people exaggerated to entertain themselves during long overnight shifts. Pipes knocked, cooling systems hissed, old metal structures expanded and settled constantly. If someone wanted to convince themselves the place was haunted, the factory gave them plenty to work with. That was why the alarms bothered him. Not at first. At first, they felt irritating more than unsettling. The facility had recently upgraded most of its security system, replacing older alarms and cameras with motion tracking software tied directly into the overnight supervisor stations. Every secured section of the building now logged movement automatically after shutdown. Door access, motion triggers, alarm resets, camera activity, everything fed into a digital monitoring system displayed across several screens in the security office. The upgrades were supposed to reduce false alarms. Instead, strange things started happening almost immediately. At first, it was easy to blame the new system. Sensors triggered in empty hallways. Cameras briefly lost connection in isolated sections before restoring themselves seconds later. Motion alerts appeared in areas that had already been cleared and locked for the night. IT blamed calibration problems. Maintenance blamed software updates. Everyone else blamed the new system because that was easier than thinking too hard about it. Then the alarm pattern started repeating. That was when he began paying attention. The first real incident happened during a rainstorm sometime near the end of October. Only a skeleton crew remained working that night, mostly shipping and maintenance employees finishing late orders before the weekend. Around 1 in the morning, Building 3 shut down completely, while the main production side continued operating for another 2 hours. He handled the shutdown himself. The routine never changed. Walk the administrative offices, check exterior doors, verify badge access points, arm the motion sensors through the security panel mounted near the south hallway exit. Once the system activated, the entire section should have remained empty until morning. He finished the shutdown, crossed the lot to the active side of the facility, and settled into the security office to finish paperwork. 10 minutes later, the alarm went off. The sound itself was irritating more than alarming, a sharp digital tone that echoed briefly through the office before the monitor displayed the source of the trigger. He heard the alarm say, "Building 3, East Corridor Motion Detected." He frowned immediately. That corridor should have been empty. He checked the exterior access logs first. No badge scans, no door alerts. The system showed every exterior entrance still secured. Probably a sensor glitch. That was his first thought. He reset the alarm remotely and returned to his paperwork. Less than 30 seconds later, the alarm triggered again. Same hallway. This time, he pulled up the camera feed. The corridor appeared empty beneath the fluorescent lights, polished concrete floors stretching between office doors and faded safety posters. Nothing moved. No shadows crossed the frame. No visible reason existed for the motion sensor to activate. Then the lights shut off. Not all at once, either. One section of the hallway darkened, then the next, moving slowly down the corridor as though something invisible was walking away from the camera. He stared at the monitor without moving. The motion alert triggered again immediately after the final light shut off. Building 3 had dozens of motion sensors tied into the lighting system. If something moved through a darkened section, the lights should have turned back on automatically. They didn't. For several seconds, the camera showed nothing except darkness, swallowing the corridor one section at a time. Then somewhere off camera, a door opened. He heard it through the live audio feed. Not loudly. Quietly. The slow sound of a heavy office door unlatching and easing shut again. Every hair along his arms rose immediately. He grabbed the radio and called maintenance first, partly because protocol required it, and partly because he suddenly did not want to walk into the building alone. One of the overnight mechanics answered and agreed to meet him outside Building 3. By the time they crossed the rain-soaked lot together, the alarm had stopped. That almost made it worse. The building looked completely dead again from the outside, its long rows of darkened windows reflecting only rain and distant security lights. He unlocked the south entrance, disarmed the system, and stepped inside with the mechanic following several feet behind him. The hallway beyond remained dark. Not malfunctioned dark, an inactive dark. The motion lights had never turned back on. He had to use the flashlight mounted beside the entrance panel just to see properly as they moved deeper into the corridor. Nothing looked disturbed. No doors stood open. No broken locks. No signs anyone had entered at all. Still, the deeper they walked into the building, the more wrong the silence began to feel. Then somewhere ahead of them, deeper in the darkness, another motion sensor activated. One light flicked on, and then the next. Then another farther down the corridor. In sequence, like something was moving away from them. For several seconds, neither of them moved. The mechanic stood a few feet behind him, holding a flashlight aimed halfway down the corridor, while the motion lights continued activating one section at a time farther ahead. Each fluorescent fixture flickered awake just long enough to illuminate another empty stretch of hallway before the next sensor triggered deeper in the building. Neither man spoke immediately. The sequence itself was wrong. If someone had actually been walking down the corridor, they should have seen movement somewhere between the lights. A shadow. A silhouette crossing between sections. Anything. Instead, the hallway remained empty every time another bank of lights switched on. The mechanic finally muttered that maybe another supervisor was inside the building after all, though the uncertainty in his voice made it clear he did not fully believe that explanation himself. They started walking. The activated lights remained several sections ahead of them the entire time, almost maintaining distance. By the time they reached one illuminated stretch of hallway, the next sensor farther ahead would trigger instead, always moving away, always just out of sight. The deeper they went into Building 3, the quieter everything became. The production side of the facility still hummed faintly through distant walls, but the office section carried a different kind of silence after shutdown. Carpeted administrative hallways absorbed sound differently than the factory floor. Their footsteps felt muted. Even their radios seemed strangely loud, clipped against their jackets. Another sensor activated ahead, then another. The mechanic stopped walking and lowered the flashlight slightly. "You seeing this too?" he asked quietly. That question bothered him. Up until that moment, part of him had still been trying to convince himself the situation could be explained by exhaustion or some strange interaction between the lighting system and motion sensors. Hearing the uncertainty in someone else's voice made the entire thing feel suddenly more real. They continued following the lights. Eventually, the corridor ended near a cluster of offices and meeting rooms that formed a dead end at the rear of the building. The final motion light switched on near the last door at the end of the hall. Then everything stopped. No additional sensors triggered, no movement, nothing. The last office door stood partially open beneath the fluorescent light, and neither of them remembered it being open before. The mechanic quietly asked whether someone should call security before checking the room, but even as he said it, they both already knew what the problem with that idea was. Security cameras covered the hallway. If someone had walked down there, the system should have captured them, and it hadn't. He approached the office slowly and pushed the door open the rest of the way. The room inside was empty. No broken window, no second exit, no place for anyone to heed. Just a dark office with old filing cabinets, a conference table, and the faint smell of dust and stale coffee lingering in the air conditioning. The mechanic stepped inside behind him and slowly turned in a circle. Then the radio on his belt crackled loudly. Both of them jumped. The dispatcher's voice came through asking whether they were still inside Building 3 because another motion alert had just triggered near the south entrance. So they stared at each other for a second without speaking. The south entrance sat on the opposite side of the building. Something had crossed behind them. The walk back through the corridor felt different after that. Neither man tried explaining the alarms anymore. They moved quickly now, flashlights cutting across office windows and dark intersections while the motion lights ahead continued activating unpredictably. Twice he caught the mechanic glancing over his shoulder. The south entrance appeared empty when they finally reached it. So did the camera feed. The monitor near the alarm panel showed an inactive hallway beneath steady fluorescent lighting, no visible movement anywhere in frame. Yet the event log continued updating every few seconds. Another alert appeared across the screen, this time from the south corridor, then another, from the shipping access hallway, then stairwell B. The alerts moved through the building in a slow pattern that made no sense geographically. Whoever or whatever the system tracked seemed to ignore walls, locked access points, and physical distance entirely. Motion sensors activated in different sections too quickly for anyone to travel between them normally. The mechanic finally asked him to shut the alarm off completely. Not reset it, disable it, he did. The silence afterward felt immediate and unnatural. No more alert tones, no more motion notifications scrolling across the monitor. just the faint hum of ventilation systems and rain tapping softly against the building outside. For a moment, everything seemed normal again. Then one of the cameras moved. Not the camera feed itself. The actual security camera mounted high above the hallway intersection near the shipping offices slowly pivoted several degrees to the left before stopping directly toward them. Neither man spoke. The system was not designed to do that. Most of the factory cameras remained fixed permanently in place. Only exterior security cameras had remote movement capability, and even those were controlled through a separate system entirely. This camera should not have moved at all. The mechanic stepped backward first, not panicked exactly, more like his body had reacted before his brain caught up. Then the live audio feed clicked on by itself. Static crackled softly through the monitor speakers for several seconds. Beneath it came the faint sound of something metallic striking concrete somewhere deep in the building. One clang echoed through the speakers, then another farther away before the sound disappeared again into silence. The mechanic immediately insisted someone else was inside the facility, but his voice sounded forced now, too quick, like he was trying to convince himself more than anyone else. He pulled up additional camera feeds, one by one, hallways, shipping bays, break rooms, loading docks. Everything appeared empty. Then another notification appeared across the screen indicating movement on camera 14. The corresponding feed opened automatically. At first, the hallway looked empty. Then he noticed the shape. Not clearly human and not fully visible, just something darker than the surrounding hallway standing near the far edge of the frame where the fluorescent lighting faded into shadow. It remained perfectly still for several seconds, facing directly toward the camera, watching it. Then the feed cut abruptly to static. The mechanic swore softly under his breath. A second later, every motion light in the hallway outside switched on at once. Fluorescent fixtures snapped awake one after another down the corridor beyond the office windows, flooding the building with harsh white light. And somewhere far deeper inside the factory, a heavy metal door slammed shut. The sound of the metal door slamming echoed through the building long after the impact itself ended. Neither of them moved at first. The noise had come from somewhere deep inside the inactive side of the factory, far beyond the office corridors and administrative rooms. Even through layers of walls and machinery, the force of it carried clearly enough to vibrate faintly beneath their feet. The mechanic looked at him and quietly said they needed to leave. For the first time that night, he agreed immediately. They shut down the camera feeds, rearmed what parts of the system they still could, and crossed back through the rain toward the active side of the facility without speaking much at all. The mechanic stayed close the entire walk across the lot, both of them occasionally glancing back toward Building 3, despite neither wanting to admit it. From the outside, the structure looked completely still again. Dark windows, no movement, no visible reason for any of what had just happened. That should have made him feel better. Instead, it made the building feel patient. The rest of the shift passed slowly after that. The mechanic avoided the security office completely and stayed out on the production floor until morning. He understood the feeling, sitting alone in front of the monitors after what they had seen felt impossible now. Every flicker on the screens drew his attention. Every random noise in the ventilation system made his chest tighten. Nothing else happened before sunrise, at least not officially. The event logs from the overnight system remained strange, though. Even after disabling sections of the alarm network, motion alerts continued appearing intermittently throughout Building 3 for the next several hours. By morning, the digital log showed movement recorded in nearly every major corridor on the inactive side of the plant. No badge scans accompanied any of it, no exterior doors opened, no cameras captured anyone entering or leaving. Management blamed software failures once daylight returned and people filled the building again. IT spent most of the following week checking sensor calibration and network issues, while supervisors joked about the ghost in the system. The mechanic never joked about it again, neither did he, because things kept happening, and not constantly either. That almost would have been easier. Instead, the incidents arrived just far enough apart that people could convince themselves each one had some separate explanation. A motion alert in a sealed storage hallway. Cameras briefly losing connection in isolated sections of the plant. a shipping bay door unlocking itself after the system had already been armed for the night. Always overnight. Always in nearly empty sections of the building, and increasingly always near him. That was the part he never reported. At first, it only meant cameras shifting toward him when he walked through certain areas. Nothing obvious enough that someone else would necessarily notice unless they had already been paying attention. A camera angle changed slightly after he passed beneath it. Motion lights activated before he reached certain hallways instead of after. Small things, easy to dismiss individually, but over time the pattern became impossible for him to ignore. The system reacted differently around him. One night near the end of November, he stayed late finishing inventory reports after most of the overnight crew had already moved to the production floor. Around 2 a.m, he left the office to grab paperwork from shipping and noticed the motion lights ahead of him turning on before he reached them. Not 1 or 2 seconds early. Entire sections. The lights illuminated 3 hallway segments ahead in sequence as though someone invisible walked just beyond his sight line. When he stopped moving, the lights stopped too. The hallway remained silent except for the low electrical hum of the fluorescent fixtures overhead. Then 1 more light activated farther ahead, waiting. He turned around and went back to the office. After that, he stopped taking shortcuts through inactive sections of the building entirely. It didn't matter. The factory kept finding ways to remind him it was there. Another supervisor reported hearing footsteps in locked administrative offices during a weekend shutdown. A maintenance worker swore someone had been watching him from an inactive catwalk above the production floor until he climbed up to check and found nothing there. Security pulled footage 1 morning showing a line of motion lights activating through Building 3 at nearly 3 a.m, despite no recorded movement appearing on any corresponding cameras. The pattern on the lights bothered him most because he recognized it. They moved the same way they had that first night, in sequence, like something walking through the building. By December, even employees who normally mocked the ghost stories had stopped lingering alone after shutdown. People moved through darkened areas faster now. Conversations lowered whenever the subject came up. More than once, he overheard workers quietly asking not to be assigned alone in Building 3 overnight. Still, management refused to acknowledge anything unusual beyond system inconsistencies. That phrase started becoming a joke around the plant, until the night the cameras followed him. The facility was nearly empty because of a snowstorm moving through the area. Only a reduced crew had come in, mostly shipping and a few maintenance workers handling emergency production deadlines. Around 1:30 a.m, he sat alone in the security office reviewing delivery schedules when movement flashed briefly across one of the monitor screens. Camera 12, the hallway outside the old training rooms. At first, he assumed another false alert had triggered again. Then he noticed the camera itself adjusting slowly, tracking movement through the corridor. Following someone. He frowned and leaned closer toward the monitor. The hallway appeared empty, but the camera continued moving steadily as though tracking someone walking through the corridor in real time. His stomach tightened. The camera reached the end of the hallway and stopped. A second later, camera 13 activated automatically in the next hallway over. Again, the corridor looked empty. Again, the camera tracked movement anyway. Not random movement either. A route, something was moving through the building, and every camera was following it. One by one, the feeds activated. Across the monitors in sequence, hallways, shipping corridors, storage intersections, stairwells. The cameras turned smoothly as something invisible passed through the factory, always moving toward the security office. He sat frozen in the chair watching the route slowly approach his section of the building while every instinct in his body screamed at him to leave. Camera 6 activated. The hallway outside the maintenance offices and then camera 4, the corridor leading toward security. The cameras continued pivoting gradually, following something neither the monitors nor the motion sensors could fully capture. But the building could. Somewhere beyond the office door, motion lights began switching on one after another, slowly drawing closer through the hallway outside. He stood up so quickly the chair rolled backward into the wall behind him. The hallway outside remained empty when he looked through the office window. Then the radio beside the monitors crackled loudly. Static filled the speaker for several seconds before a voice finally emerged. Not distorted, not mechanical, his own voice. "Still here?" it asked softly.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at chumbacasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T&Cs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW
Y'all, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.